Hello, everyone. It's Shane Conto.
And I'm Diana Jebbia.
And welcome to the Ruthless Obsession Wrestling Podcast. And welcome to our discussion on the world of professional wrestling. And this is a special follow-up episode to the very early in the morning for us Americans here of the PLE Elimination Chamber live from Perth, Australia, and all the fun koalas that we got to see over the
Yes.
course of like three different shows of WWE programming. But I guess starting things off, Diana, what were some of your highlights from the premium live event?
Kevin Owens beating the ever-loving life out of Logan Paul because he deserves it. First of all, we have to talk about how Logan Paul snuck a Sharpie into the chamber and he was drawing from the inside. So everything he was doing like backwards, I guess, so everyone else
That's
can
good for
see it,
him.
which that's commitment. He drew little devil horns he could take pictures on. He wrote Kevin sucks. He drew kind of a really insulting stick figure of Kevin Owens
Where it's
and
just
was
a
making fun of him.
circle.
Yeah, I was like just giant like doughboy vibes. It was not nice. And I loved that Kevin was gunning for him from the second Logan got into the ring. Like when they go up to each other and taunt each other in the pods, Logan, before he could even step close enough to Kevin was already like banging his head on that glass like he was someone at Horror Nights, like popping up to scare the crap out of you. It was entertaining. It was fantastic. Logan looked scared. And when it was finally Logan's time to get out, he was met by Kevin Owens, chef's kiss. Kevin like took him for a ride and then some. The only thing that would have made all this better is if Kevin did eliminate Logan, but I'm not mad at the way that Logan went out, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But yeah, these two, I hope this isn't the end of their rivalry just because it is so entertaining and you can't help but root for Kevin Owens because it's very much they're playing into a lot of these like high school stereotypes, and Logan's the cool jock, and like Kevin's the kid that gets made fun of for his size, but he's a tough kid and he's an underdog, and you just can't help but root for him. And also, like Kevin Owens with the koala. Oh my God, so cute. We need Kevin Owens and a koala like every single week.
The fact that they spent all that time showing all of them coming into the arena
Yeah.
and Kevin Owens just casually walking in with a koala on him was hilarious.
Yeah.
And yes, one of the biggest highlights of the show was the Kevin Owens show because he comes to play. He is a true through and through professional wrestler. He knows his job very, very well. He plays into it really well. And he can do all kinds of stuff. And he's just a really well-rounded performer. And Logan Paul is one of the most despicable heels. Like, can you imagine if like him and Dom Mysterio were a tag team? I don't think they could even walk into the arena
Yeah.
because they get booed out, and the force of everyone booing at the same time would literally knock them back through the curtain.
Yes. But at least with Dom, I love him. Like, I find his heelish ways entertaining. He's hysterical. It's all in good fun. We know he doesn't really hate his dad. And it's mocking. With Logan Paul, no offense to anyone who's a YouTube fan of his, he just does not seem like a good person. It seems like the character you're getting in the ring is very true to his life, which, like, hooray for the authenticity. We love authenticity, but it's not good. It doesn't make you any better.
No, he seems like an actual douche. So like
Yeah.
it works really well. And Diana, I really strongly think we're probably going to get a triple threat match at WrestleMania, between Kevin Owens, Logan Paul, and Logan Paul's victim at the end of the match, Randy Orton, who looked like he was all ready to win that match, and then Logan Paul. Those two moments were perfectly set up where Logan pulls his brass knucks out and is mugging at the camera and the close up, and then literally out of nowhere, Randy Orton comes up and RKOs him and eliminates him. And then, of course, Logan Paul didn't leave yet and throws the punch at Orton. And Drew McIntyre, being Mr. Opportunist in this match, winds up taking the win after picking up a couple pinfalls off of other people's dirty work. So.
Right. You know, not the best way to showcase Drew McIntyre's talent, but it does work for him as a heel. It works to build his character, you know?
Well, and he got some moments too in like the actual match doing his thing, and him starting off with LA Knight back to back days because they wrestled on SmackDown and then opened the Elimination Chamber. Drew's just on such a roll right now. My biggest highlight of the show, though, has to, well, actually, really as a whole, the women stole the show.
Oh, yes.
Like by far, because that women's Elimination Chamber match was great, and you having Rhea and Nia Jax headlining that show was such a perfect choice. And I'll be the first one to admit to you, I do not like Nia Jax. I was afraid. I'm afraid of her hurting somebody literally every time she gets in the ring at this point. But she has put in so much work to improve since she was gone, and they put on a hell of a main event.
Yeah, it's refreshing that they were the main event, but I don't know about you. I really think they need to switch up when there's a chamber and there's a rumble. Why do we have to start with the women? Let's stop. They've been the more interesting, in my opinion, of the matches for the past couple of PLEs. We could have opened with the men on this one. Why do we need to make them the last? Why do we need to give them the flowers? And I understand that opening a show is, in some ways, just as important, but when you're consistently putting women in the opener spot, to me, it's just making a statement that, like, okay, yeah, they go first and then we save the better one for later. When in these past two, in Rumble and Elimination Chamber, I am with you, the women's matches were far more interesting.
Yeah, especially the Royal Rumble. That women's Royal Rumble match was fantastic. And both of these chamber matches were great. I do recall last January, they did open with the men's Rumble, which honestly shocked the hell out of me because I didn't expect that last year.
Wait, they did? And then, yeah, no, you're right, because then Rhea won. I don't know. I guess I'm like so used to them doing it the other way around. I
Well,
forgot.
To be fair, most women's matches in pro wrestling up until like how recently just get buried in the worst spots on the card anyway. So, and like, I'm really happy that they got, well, how many matches total did we get? What, five with the
If you
pre-show?
count the pre-show.
And three out of five of them were women's matches, which I think that was really awesome. And I know that the like Rhea Ripley is a star, but so big of a star. And she killed it in that main event. And they sold a really good Riptide at the end because I was really worried. Because I've seen some really bad ones from Nia Jax that she's attempted to do on her. But that whole entire match worked so perfectly, and her celebrating with her family. And her sister, who looks just like her.
Yes.
It's like, get
Wait, I
her in
so
the
I'm still on a couple of minutes ago because I totally forgot that the men's opened up the last one, but the women's didn't main event, right? That was second to last.
ring. No, it was probably Roman. Oh,
Yeah.
no, it
Okay, so
was
my point
Roman.
still
Yeah,
stands.
because it was Roman and it was Sammy
Right. Because
turning
that's what I
on him.
was thinking. I'm like, there's no way they went. No. Okay, so my point still stands. I
No, the
knew I
women did
wasn't.
not headline the pay-per-view last January in terms of the Royal Rumble. But no, the women's chamber match, which they were all so good, but it made me sad that like, well, I feel like Raquel probably should have got pinned first. It did make me sad that like Naomi got pinned first in the match, but everybody else was killing it though. Like Tiffany Stratton was so over. Australia wants Tiffy time and wants Tiffy time bad.
Tiffany, you know, I am a huge supporter of Tiffany. She is fabulous in all the ways when it comes athletically. She's developed her character so much. She is just someone you love to hate, but also you can't help but marvel at just how much of a natural she is without even growing up doing wrestling. She was a gymnast. And
And it
obviously the two
shows.
go hand in hand a little bit, but it's just, you could be the best athlete in the world and suck at promos, but she's got both of them. So good for her.
I want to shout out Liv Morgan, who did some of the craziest spots in that match when she ran and did a double knee drop on Raquel on the ropes. I'm like, oh my God, that was totally dangerous, but it looked amazing.
I loved when Naomi went on Becky's shoulders and was kind of like twerking her out a little bit. We're like, you go, Naomi, we've missed you.
And then when she did her split off the side of the chamber onto Becky,
Insane.
so good.
Insane.
No, they came to play. And outside of two roll-ups in one chamber match, which. And actually, you know what? They rolled up both Naomi and Bianca, which quite a great
Bianca did
look.
not deserve that. We had exchanged some messages and it just made Bianca look not even, I don't want to say it made her look bad because obviously she's another one who's so athletic and physically just a vision and you could tell she was made to do this. But for someone who calls themselves the EST and has proven herself to be the EST, to be taken out by a simple roll up, like Bianca was done dirty.
Well, and also the timing was awkward a little bit with it, and it didn't look the cleanest either. But otherwise, that whole ending sequence of that chamber match was so well done. And, you know, good for Raquel going out there, because I noticed like something didn't look right when she came out, and I realized she didn't have any makeup on, but also she was having one of her flare-ups, which good for her going out there and competing like that with her flare-up going on and everything. But, you know, if you want to go back to our last episode and hear our thoughts on like she needs a character, 100% does.
Yes, still
And
stands.
she, well, her and Bianca kind of served the same purpose in this match too, because like Bianca's insanely athletic. And if I had to pick one women's wrestler to put in a match and be like, they're gonna put on an amazing like spectacle of a match, I'm picking her because she could do like anything in that ring, and it's fantastic. But no, they did such a great job. The Rhea Ripley Nia Jax match completely exceeded all my expectations because we know how, like, it's the equivalent to a big meaty men match of the women's division, and they could go very poorly because, you know, Nia Jax is a super heavyweight in the women's division, and not all super heavyweight competitors are the most consistent performers in the ring. And this match was not going to go on super long either, but it was well paced. They did everything perfectly. They were near disaster a couple of times. Like Nia Jax almost slipping on the chair trying to deliver that elbow drop. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm just glad that she hit the table and didn't fall beforehand. And when she got knocked off the top rope, I thought she was going to get hurt. But it all worked out. The two of them did a fantastic job. I know it probably wasn't like, well, the Kabuki Warriors are amazing. They're absolutely amazing competitors. I love Indy. She is not the strongest in the ring from like a performer perspective. She is actually one of the strongest, I guess, women's wrestlers, but like, I don't know. I wish that her moment could have felt bigger. I know it was technically on the pre-show, and also I didn't get to watch it because that was at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, I woke up for five, like normal, watch the rest of the pay-per-view. But like, I'm just glad that she got that moment. And congratulations to Bronson Reed, Maddie.
So
Which
sweet.
a bunch, you know what? That's more important. For him, and that he gets to be he got to see the birth of his child. But what could have been, If Seth Rollins didn't get injured and him getting a title match would have been really cool. And they also could have had more wrestling on this card because there's a lot of filler. There's a lot of koalas, but I do want
Yes.
to go to Australia now, like
I
really
know.
bad.
Seems like a really, really cool place. When you're not looking at the wrong pan over and saying, "Hey, Australia looks a lot like Philadelphia," like I did, and I'm like, "Oh, wait, that's because that is the Lincoln Financial Field." I'm like,
Wait a minute, that's
"Damn."
a WrestleMania
Yeah, I was like, just not like, you know what, when you're watching and you're zoning out, I was like, wow, everyone says how beautiful Australia is and it looks just like 95. What? Like, yeah,
because it was 95.
I'm like, this is insane.
But and I guess for like the men's match, I don't know, I kind of felt like Bobby Lashley was a little odd man out in this match because like they have not done enough to make him feel as big as he should in recent memory. But he did get to spear Logan Paul through a pod. And that was a great spot because I wanted to see Logan Paul get hurt. Because that's Logan Paul. But we got multiple shenanigans. We got the AJ Styles flew all the way to Australia just to screw over LA Knight.
And I don't even think that's on company money because they don't pay. I don't think they pay for their flights in WWE. So it's just like
No.
that's commitment. I want to know how much you got paid to do that because that's commitment right there.
He went out and did his thing and beat the crap out of LA Knight with a steel chair.
Yeah.
Also, quick side note, R-Truth
I was
showing up
gonna
in Austria
Austria.
was one of the funniest gags they could have come up with for him.
Protect that man at all costs. When that video just came up in my news feed and I heard, "Well, I'm in Austria," I lost my shit. And my friend Alyssa gave up social media for Lent and I screen recorded it for her because I knew how much she was going to enjoy that. My mom isn't even that into wrestling. Like, she'll watch it because Joey has it on, but she loves R-Truth. R-Truth is just universally, you can't help but love him, whether you care about the sport, don't. When he comes on the screen and he's got that childlike innocence, and he's certainly not a child, he is in his 50s, he is
Yeah.
a child who's a grown ass adult, but he can still capture that feeling. He just represents the kid in all of us and wholesome and funny. Like, God bless that man. They better like keep him forever. I want to see 110-year-old R-Truth coming out in a walker for the Women's Royal Rumble.
And he'll still be in shape too, which is
Yes.
insane.
Yes.
And just to point out, like, he's a world champion in TNA. As Ron Killings. And like he came to WWE. They made him a serious competitor for a while, but he just really found his stride with like the whole little Jimmy thing that he
Yes.
started doing. And then
Yes.
ever since, like, you're not even in the match. Oh, my bad. And it just.
Or the rumble where he brings out the ladder and then starts climbing for money in the back. That was great.
Promo with him and Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, where he thinks Paul Heyman is in
Yeah.
the Royal Rumble.
That was great. You know what? I think he owes a lot of his success to his childhood hero, John
John
Cena.
Cena. It's John Cena.
Was so funny.
I guess the one part we didn't really talk about up to this point, which I don't know, I'll admit this was felt like filler, and like they wanted to pay at least have like Cody and Seth show up on the show. But boy, did Australia, Perth sang his whole entire entrance theme. Well, both of them. Well, they sang one of them. Like they're just so over the both of them. And seeing them in the ring, and Grayson Waller's great. And this is my time to crap on Austin Theory because I think he's
So
boring
bad.
and I don't like him. And him ripping off The Rock's catchphrases was so dumb. And it was fun watching them beat him up.
Yes.
So there you go.
Didn't he try to say like an Outback Steakhouse joke and it just did not go? It completely missed the mark.
I
Other than him, the Grayson Waller effect was really enjoyable because Grayson is so talented. It was really interesting to see him get a pop rather than a bunch of boos.
yeah.
He was very in his element doing the shoey with the one, the other guy who, like, that's his trademark. It was he UFC, that
I think
guy,
so,
that the
yeah.
other Australian guy. I thought that was really, really cool. Cody and Seth, obviously, they're two amazing showmen. So whenever they're on the stage, it's just gonna be incredible. And then at the end, where they took him out, they started like hyping him up and then like took him out. That was pretty cool. Austin Theory. When Seth was like, yeah, your impression's really good. And then we got to see a little bit of action from Seth, which we've been missing the past couple months.
Which, yeah, quick highlights from this segment. One, while Austin Theory was getting beat up, Grayson Waller trying to save his plant was gold.
Yes.
His poor plant.
Yes.
Grayson Waller saying, and a man, because of the American education system, can't finish a story. When he called out Cody Rhodes, I'm like, oh my
Yeah.
God. So, yeah, Grayson Waller's great. And I know they brought him up originally when he was injured just because they knew they could work him like this so well with his mouth. And it, like, he's so good in that role.
And he
Cody.
was a high school teacher. He looks like he should still be in high school. Like, that blows my mind. He was probably the teacher all the girls were crushing on and all the boys wanted to be, and everyone like wanted to be his friend. That blew my mind. I would take his class.
What's crazy is like him and Michelle McCool, resident teachers turned pro
That's
wrestlers.
right. Oh my God. Not as fond of Michelle McCool because of the whole Mickey James storyline, but that's a different convo
Ooh.
for a different
That was a
day.
different era of WWE. And just a little announcement here and a statement, I guess. If you couldn't tell, Vince McMahon was a piece of shit based off of the stuff he made people do on
Yeah.
television. I don't know what to tell
Yeah.
you. Case in point. But Cody calling out The Rock for a match, and then Seth basically calling out The Rock for a match. I'm like, we're getting this tag match. Like, this is happening. Night one tag match, night two. It's just one of those kinds of things where this was all done for the star power. They wanted them on the show. We had some fun. The crowd was super into it. And it did its job. It was definitely, like, for me personally, the low point of the show because I really enjoyed all the matches. Even which one we didn't talk about yet was the tag match,
The
which.
new Catch Republic, as Kaz on Masked Man show called them the new Banana Republic, and I thought that was hysterical.
Tyler Bate looks like he would be in Banana Republic clothes.
Yes. Yeah. He's
Which.
so lovable. I'm that dynamic between Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, because like Pete Dunne looks like he's gonna do a Kool-Aid Man and like walk through a brick wall, and like Tyler Bate, you kind of just want to give him a little kiss on the cheek. He's so
Yeah.
cute. Slap his bum a little bit, like he's so just lovable.
They have such a great dynamic and. They look like they had tagged for forever. Their double team moves were so on point. The timing on their both fake out punch was so good. They're gonna win the tag titles at some point. It just wasn't time yet.
No,
And
too soon.
Judgment Day is gonna implode at some point this year. I can't imagine that they're gonna make it through the rest of this year together. Because I feel like once Damian Priest cashes in that briefcase, Finn Balor's not going to be happy camper, and it's
Right.
going to cause some tension. But Dom Dom,
That was great.
the fact that they had a blackout because everybody was flipping him the bird, it
Yes.
was perfect.
That
And
was fantastic. And people were really like intrigued to see which way the audience was going to go, because it could have been like, this is Rhea Ripley's kayfabe
yeah.
sweetheart, so we like him, but it certainly did not play out that way. But that's just what makes him such a good performer, because it's, you know, with Dom, it's all in good fun. It's not like people really hate him. It's just fun to pretend to hate him. And I think if he were to, God forbid, get injured or have to leave or go to a different company, like, he would be so missed.
honestly did some of the best heel work at anybody last year. He's
Yes.
improved so. I remember when he first started wrestling, I'm
It was awkward.
I don't want to watch your matches. But he improved so much. Putting the North American title on him was such a good idea.
Yeah.
And he had the biggest reaction out of the four people who were rest out of the four people who were wrestling. Them
Yes.
chanting Dom's a wanker was also fantastic. But I can imagine all the Australians there being like, this kid's cucking
Yeah.
one of our own, because a
Yes.
buddy is also Australian, referencing Rhea Ripley's actual partner who's in AEW.
Yes.
But just Dom was great. That tag match was really, really well done. That coup de grace at the end, that was perfect. Hit that perfect.
It always is. You know, I'm a Finn girly.
Let's officially announce, because this might be the first time on this podcast. Yes, Diana wants to know if Finn Balor is single now.
He's not. I check the Instagram all the time. He's still married. Sorry.
Sorry, Diana.
It's okay.
but like Damian Priest did his job well, being like the big guy in the match.
Yes.
And it, like, he went for a double choke slam at that one point, and like that counter, the two of them just doing like backflips and stuff out
Yes.
of it. I'm just like, this is wonderful. I love this match.
Have you seen any of the digital prints from these matches or these digital captures? There is one. I'll send it to you later, where it's just Damian Priest is like, it looks like he's almost doing a toe touch. It's so gorgeous, like about to come down. I forgot on who. And I'm like, this is, you know that a fight is really good. It's almost like when I did dance competition, it's like, yeah, you could perform well on stage, but when your pictures are good and you're not like mid, like looking ugly or like fuzzy or whatever, you brought it. And just the athleticism of Damian Priest, you know, Finn Balor, like that's another one sculpted from the gods. Like that guy probably eats rice and chicken and broccoli for dinner, breakfast, and lunch every single day. And then you have the contrast of just Pete and Tyler, who, you know, they're kind of like more regular looking people, but still incredibly athletic. And they're just, it's a juxtaposition in a way because they're four very athletic men, but the way they complement each other is just so, it's really awesome to see in the ring. That was just such an entertaining match.
Yeah, I rewatched highlights of Pete Dunne and Gunther's UK Championship match. My
Yeah.
God, Pete Dunne's so fantastic. Tyler Bate was like 9 and 20 years old when he came into NXT UK and just took the
Yes.
place by storm. And he, weird side note, he doesn't look like he's barely wearing anything.
I
He's
know.
like, he has
I was
like,
just gonna
it's.
say, like, and he's still wearing diapers.
Yeah, it looks like he has a diaper on. It looks like he has ankle high boots on. So it's like
Yes.
almost all skin.
I'm
And.
trying to find this picture. Oh, it's really bothering me because it's just such a good picture.
But overall, this is a
Yeah.
really good premium live event for WWE. And yeah, there's only like four matches on the actual show, but you know, this is our tease before WrestleMania. So, and the two Elimination Chamber matches take up a lot of time, so that's understandable.
Yes.
And they're selling the hell out of these locations because we got Backlash in France and we got Berlin coming up post WrestleMania. I wonder who's going to win big in Berlin. And who's gonna headline that card? It totally is not gonna be Gunther.
No.
Not at
Well,
all.
I was gonna say his name rhymes with Spoonther, but you know, we've established it can't be Guther, wink wink, so never mind.
I guess, Diana, are there any other things that you wanted to highlight from the show?
No, I just wish I could find this damn picture. Once I do, I'll send it to you because it is just a work of art. Like to see someone as tall as Damian Priest like float through the air so gracefully. There was one picture, now that I'm on this, it's a little aside. It was Darby Allin versus Takeshita, and it was the most beautiful. Like, if you were looking at it, it did not look like a wrestling match. It looked like they were competing in couples figure skating because he had Darby up with one hand, like the whole L shape, like one arm out, one arm holding Darby, and Darby was just like back extended, like arms presenting. And I'm like, this is gorgeous. So I will find you that picture too, because it's amazing. I am always in awe of what these performers can do with their bodies. It takes a lot to make it look, powerful, but make it look pretty too. And they don't even intend on making it look pretty. That's just an example of
Just
how they're
happens that
naturals
way.
at it. Yeah.
And one, Diana will be getting that framed on her wall. Two,
Exactly.
if Darby Allin is single in the future. But my last thoughts are, mommy came out on top
Yes.
on this premium live event. Rhea Ripley was the star. She was the marketing, and Triple H's heavy metal, like teenage daughter, basically, this relationship that it seems like I just love
Yes.
that moment when he hugged her afterwards and was like, I'm so proud of you. I'm like, Papa H is so proud.
Yes, it was just
And
so well done. You can't help but be happy for her. Seeing as she came in, and knowing her story, she was the blonde girl. She really didn't feel like she fit in as her true self, but now she is 100% her true self, and she is thriving.
And she is the biggest thirst trap on pro wrestling social media. And every dude and probably a lot of women want her to be mommy. Looking at you, Kathy Kelly.
That's funny.
Every time she interviews her, every time.
Yeah.
But we have some big matches looking forward to WrestleMania. We got Cody Roman. We got Drew and Seth. We're 100% getting LA Knight and AJ Styles. And yes, that is gorgeous, that leg drop that Damian Priest is dropping right there.
It looked like he's doing almost a full toe touch.
Gorgeous. We're probably going to get a triple threat match with Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and
Kevin
Kevin
Owens.
Owens.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see where we get elsewhere. Probably getting the Awesome Truth versus Judgment Day for the tag titles. Wouldn't be
Yes.
surprised if that's what turns out. And maybe was Tiffany and Naomi, maybe that would be a pretty cool match to see. There's a lot of matches shaping up. I'm like, at least 2 nights. How many matches can
I
all
think
these cards?
Bianca and Tiffany, because they've developed a little bit of a back and forth.
Or that too, or they're gonna have. Now there's like so many women that need to have some spots on WrestleMania. It's like, it's good. We're going to get more than just the two title matches. And also, just for the note, we love Bayley and we want
We
to shout
do.
her out, even though they completely ignored her so far.
I don't know if, again, this was an older thing from CM Punk, but or if he brought it up a second time, but good on CM Punk for fighting the good fight for Bayley.
Well, and Shelton Benjamin came out for it too. It's just like,
Oh, I didn't see that.
he's like, you know, Bayley won the Royal Rumble too. Where's her story? All they're talking about is Cody. I'm like, so hopefully Bayley gets a better spotlight going into WrestleMania. And we will certainly have a lot of AEW news for next week
Yes.
because
Lots going on there.
they have a big show coming up next weekend.
So special.
So tis the season. But as we wrap up here, just want to thank the SPDM Crew Podcast Network that we're a part of. And very awesome being a part of this group of podcasters. And a special thanks to High Flyer Creative for designing our logo. To see what else they have happening, visit highflyercreative.com. But Diana, always great talking wrestling with you.
Back at you.
And thank all of you out there. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, like, comment, and share this episode. But thank you as always for tuning in and supporting the Ruthless Obsession podcast.
Thank you.